In January, just weeks before President Trump's inauguration, Stephen Hayes took over as editor-in-chief of the conservative Weekly Standard magazine, which was co-founded by William Kristol. And Stephen told the owner to add more resources and make sure we're basing our arguments on facts, logic, and reason. Hayes, profiled recently in the New York Times, seemed to be joining other conservatives uneasy with the idea that their movement, which started out in the 50s and took on a new life after Watergate, and aimed to break the informational hold of mainstream news, might have produced offshoots like Breitbart News that ended up breaking something bigger, the truth. Stephen Hayes joins us now from NPR's Washington studios. And Stephen, put it in your own words. Am I coming close to your thinking?
That's very close to my thinking, actually. You know, I certainly was disturbed as we watched the presidential campaign in particular unfold. And we saw, you know, not just the Republican presidential candidate embrace things that were demonstrably untrue, but some center-right news organizations do so as well and propagate these untruths. And it ought to be disturbing to anybody that you have people peddling untruths to make a political case.
Well, what do you say, though, to fellow conservatives? People at Breitbart News, for instance, run for years by Steve Bannon, now Donald Trump's chief strategist, who might say this is sour grapes. You and your co-founder, William Kristol, were part of the Never Trump movement. The Breitbart headline about your elevation to editor reads, I'm sure you've seen it, after getting everything wrong in 2016, Stephen Hayes elevated to editor-in-chief at the Weekly Standard.
Well, they might be right about that. Maybe I did get everything wrong in 2016. Look, they're welcome to have their opinions, but they're not welcome to their own facts, to paraphrase Daniel Patrick Moynihan. And many others. I mean, there are others who have been credentialed by the White House that are reporting things that are just simply not true. And again, we've seen the president do this as well. We saw him do this in the campaign when he floated this conspiracy that Ted Cruz's father, Raphael, had been involved with John F. Kennedy's assassin and wouldn't get off of that conspiracy theory, no matter how many times he was presented with facts that demonstrated the contrary. And we've seen that, I think, continue from places like Breitbart, places like Gateway Pundit. We shouldn't apologize. We have nothing to apologize for when we say it's important to make arguments based on facts, logic, and reason.
Yeah, well, this is interesting because this is a conversation that's going on within conservative media. We recently spoke to Charlie Sykes, again, the former conservative talk show host from where you are. You're from Wauwatosa in Wisconsin.
Right.
Like you, he blames himself and conservative media, but for the constant hammering of mainstream media. Let's listen.
Much of the criticism of the mainstream media was valid. I was surprised to realize that over time, that criticism had been so effective that it had the effect of delegitimizing, completely discrediting the mainstream media and any sort of independent fact-checking. And I have to kind of do a mea culpa and look back on all of that and go, okay, so to what extent did we actually soften up the electorate for what we're experiencing now?
So that's Charlie Sykes, part of the new show Indivisible, and Stephen Hayes, now editor of the conservative Weekly Standard. Do you feel that same kind of mea culpa? You created the electorate that is, you know, willing to accept what they're hearing.
Yeah, I think that's partially true. I don't think it's entirely true. I mean, I have tremendous respect for Charlie Sykes. He was, and I think remains, one of the smartest conservative talk radio hosts in the country. I think his mea culpa goes a little too far. I think there were valid criticisms of the mainstream media and remain valid criticisms of the mainstream media. There are double standards. I think there is a pretty significant liberal bias. And when conservatives were criticizing that before, we weren't necessarily wrong to have done so. I would point to in May of 2001, when Navy SEALs raided the compound of Osama bin Laden, they not only killed bin Laden, they captured more than a million documents in the process, documents that could tell us quite a bit about al-Qaeda, about bin Laden, about who he was involved with, about states that have supported and sponsored him and backed him. We haven't seen those documents. I think we ought to have seen those documents. At the Weekly Standard, we've been reporting on them regularly, some might say obsessively, because we think there's very important information in those documents. And virtually nobody else has covered the story. To my great surprise, I think it's an incredible story, and nobody else seems to be joining us.
Why do you think it is?
I think some of it is the Obama administration didn't push the story because there are ties between – unlikely ties, I should say – between the Sunni extremists in al-Qaeda and the Shiites of Iran.
Well, and if that's true, as you say, and the Weekly Standard writes, that adds to skepticism of any move to trust Iran. Look, that's the mainstream media not, in your view, covering certain stories. But you also blame mainstream media for imbalance in the voices that are heard.
I think that's right. And I think this is something that we've seen in the aftermath of the 2016 election and the results. And I think media organizations have done some of this. Maybe more introspection is necessary. But where people come from and what backgrounds people bring to reporting the news. And I think, you know, for instance, being from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, a lot of mainstream news organizations don't have people working for them from Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. And I think there is truth to the critique of particularly the coastal elites that conservatives like to complain about, that they are out of touch, that they do live in bubbles. And I think that helps explain, you know, why the coverage was the way that it was and why so many people in our line of work didn't see the kinds of things that Barack Obama said or did as problematic when he stretched the truth, but are quick to criticize Donald Trump.
Well, talking about the voices, I mean, you know, we on our program, we try to bring in as many voices from everywhere as possible. We try to go to them. But one of the problems that we're having is this schism. I mean, there are people who will not even come on public radio because they've been told it's evil. It's such a divide that you almost can't get people to cross it.
Well, to my fellow conservatives, please go on public radio. It's not evil. now, I might disagree with some of the funding mechanisms, but it would be, I think, a good discussion, a fruitful discussion. We should have these kinds of exchanges of views. In a sense, that's what this is all about. And it's one of the things that we're trying to do with the Weekly Standard. I mean, you know, we're an unapologetically conservative magazine. But I don't want people coming to the Weekly Standard seeking affirmation. I want people coming to the Weekly Standard seeking information. I want readers who want to be challenged by the things that we write, who might take issue with the things that we write, not people who are going to read every issue and every article and think, oh, that's right, you know, those darn liberals.
Is part of what seems to be happening here that people feel left out. William Kristol and Roger Ailes came out of the rubble that was Watergate and the Watergate investigation and what happened after the Washington Post broke up in the story and then there were the hearings and a president steps down, that they walked away saying, never again are we going to allow a mainstream media that we think has a left-leaning perspective control the direction of the country. And from there began what we have today in huge outlets. I mean, the Weekly Standard, Fox News. It was people feeling left out of the conversation.
It's a good point. I mean, I think in some respects, that's what conservatives were wanting. And I would just add to the way that you described it, conservatives who wanted the conversation framed a little bit differently and who might bring to the conversation different kinds of questions based on different kinds of beliefs and different kinds of life experiences than our liberal friends might. And, I've found this in my now 20 plus years of doing journalism to have been a tremendous asset that I was raised in a different place than a lot of my colleagues. You know, I went to Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism, where the vast majority of my colleagues came from the left. And when we had these debates over beer and wings late at night in college, I would just have totally different questions about the same exact issues or the same exact topics than my friends would. These were great exchanges, and I hope that other conservatives agree that what we ought to do is try to foster these kinds of conversations, and not in some sort of Pollyannish way, but because it really matters. I mean, the things we're talking about matter in some respects more than anything else.
Well, but if the left is being criticized by conservatives for not including conservative voices, what do you do on the right as a conservative about the fact that your voice is now seen as being taken over, the bullhorn has been grabbed by white supremacists, you know, who came up with the phrase alt-right? And many Americans are blurring that with the whole voice from the right.
Well, I would hope that many Americans don't do that. It would be an unfortunate conflation, I think, of two very different phenomena. But as it relates to the responsibility of conservatives, I think conservatives have to stand up. When you see people trying to sort of take over a movement or claim conservatism for their own and they're peddling hate or they're peddling the kinds of things that we're seeing from the alt-right or elements of the alt-right, you have to fight it.
Well, as Charlie Sykes said to us, I'm rejecting the hate that I now see on the right, but I'm still going to be pro-life. He's still conservative. Stephen Hayes, editor-in-chief of the Weekly Standard. How are your readers responding, by the way?
I think our readers love it. Actually, our subscriptions are up. We're adding readers. When we talk about sort of re-emphasizing facts, logic, and reason, this is not meant to be a departure from what the Weekly Standard has been for 21 years. That's, in a sense, what we've done. But we're adding resources. We're adding new reporters. We're adding people with background in news because we think it's important in this particular political moment when people seem to not know where to turn to find the truth, to say to our readers and hopefully people well beyond our readers that they can find the truth with us.
Stephen Hayes, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.